In the scripture reading, I read to you the parable of the prodigal son. But I want us to finish the parable, for that will be the focus of my sermon. Go ahead, Annette. There you go. Thank you. I want us to focus on the older son. I didn't title the message. If you want one, you can say the older son, or the problem of being the oldest, or the older son syndrome. I don't know what you might want to call this, but where I'd like to go with this is to show us that one of the great dangers for anyone who has been saved by the grace of God is that there's the tendency to become so familiar with the state of grace, the state of being saved, that you fail to keep God in the rightful, exalted place in your heart where He ought to be. You tend to get a sense of privilege and entitlement. Let's look at the sad story of the older son in the parable of the prodigal son, and we find this beginning in Luke 15 in verse 25. Now his older son, the father's older son, was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. I want you to underline that. Not in your Bible, in your heart, and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he, the father, said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." Father, I ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to ponder several things in this passage today. One of the things that just jumps out of the text to me is, did you notice it says where the older son was? He was out in the field. Now, I want you to pay attention here. When we're talking about the older son syndrome, this has nothing to do with age. So if you're a senior citizen, I'm not picking on you. What this really deals with is birth order. Birth order. It refers to the fact that he was born of the father before his younger brother was born of the father. And we can relate this to the church. He had been around longer. You know, I always cringe a little bit when I hear people start talking about how long they've been around the church, been a member of this church. I praise the Lord for longtime members of our congregation. But I cringe a little bit when I hear a church member, though, use that as a status or a way of reasoning that they have more say and more privilege over a newer member of the church. We fall into the temptation of thinking that because we've been around longer, that somehow automatically makes us better, wiser, more qualified, more knowledgeable, and a host of other things. We need to remember that when God sent Samuel to anoint a new king for Israel, that a whole truckload of sons paraded in front of Samuel, all the way down to the youngest of Jesse's eight children, his eight sons, before God said, David is the one. God doesn't always choose the youngest, but we need to remember that God also doesn't always choose the oldest. You see, serving God and the position that He places us in His kingdom has nothing to do with our longevity in the kingdom, but everything to do with God's sovereign grace and His sovereign will. The elder son, he'd been around longer. He knew how things were supposed to be done at the farm. Just like anyone that's been around a long time, you learn the protocol. You learn the routine. You learn what behaviors are acceptable and what behaviors are not. You know the modus operandi. You know the mode of operation. You know the code of behavior. You can quote the regulations. You know what is taboo. You know what is the third rail that you're not supposed to touch so you don't get electrocuted. You can be shaped and molded into a certain way of living by familiarity, but still not have a transformed heart. Isn't that what the real problem is? The older son, he knew everything he was supposed to do. But I think this is one of the most important things we see in this text, is that he had drifted away from his father. In the parable, Jesus says he is out in the field. And he's so far out in the field that he has no clue what's going on in the father's house. He was so busy working for his father that he had no clue what was on his father's heart. We too have this danger in the church of becoming so involved in the proper way of doing things, the procedures and practices of the church, that at the same time we can simultaneously grow distant from the Father. We can drift so far from God that we have no clue what God is trying to do in His kingdom. It's amazing to me how you can be around the church for a long time and have no clue what's going on in the church. What is God wanting to do in His kingdom? We can address this real simply. What is the number one thing God seeks for His kingdom? Souls, that's right. It's new souls to be added to the kingdom. Is that not the point of this parable? The one that was lost, the one who was good as dead, has been recovered and restored. Let's party. But where's the heart of the older brother? You see, the main concern of the father is whether or not the lost are being saved. But the older brother was worried about what songs are being sung. The older brother was worried about if the church has been painted. The older brother was worried about all the external stuff that's on the fringe that really isn't all that important. He was focused on the menial, while the father was focused on the eternal. Notice something else about this older son too, and I want you to get this. He's not upset that his younger brothers come back. That's not what upsets him. Christians in the church don't get upset when people are saved. If you do get upset when someone gets saved, then maybe you need to get saved. All right? But what was it that upset the older brother? He was upset at what the father did for that terrible sinner that was his younger brother. You see, in the parable, Jesus is revealing that the older brother, he had some deep-seated anger issues. He was taking it out on his brother, but in reality, he's angry with the father. He's so angry that he won't rejoice that his brother's been found. And notice when we read through this and I said, mark that verse. Did you notice that he would not even go into the house? Stay outside with my lips stuck out. I'm going to pout about this. Daddy didn't even kill a goat for me. He's giving him a calf. Out here pouting. I'm not even going to go in. Let me tell you, I've seen it so many times over the years. People in the church, they tell on themselves when they're not happy about progress. And what's the progress in the church? It's God bringing in new people. And those that were terrible sinners before are now leaders in the church. I got to share a story with you from a past ministry. See, that's one of the things when you move around to another church, you can use the stories from the previous church, right? And so if you fire me, then I'll use you in the next place, right? Okay. But anyway, we had a gentleman in the little town we were at that lived fairly close to the high school. And he had been arrested for selling drugs, illegal drugs, to the high school students. And he got arrested. And he got sent away for several years on an all-expense-paid vacation to a state-run hotel. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, after about 5 years, he comes back. The hotel said he'd stayed there long enough. And so he comes back. And he moves back into that same house. Oh, boy. In a town of 1,000, and the drug dealer comes back, and he's there right next to the high school, but something happens. And this guy gets saved. He gets saved. And he starts coming to our church. But we're still a little problem here. You know, he's been saved, but he's living with a woman who's not his wife. And the Lord begins dealing with his heart, and they get married. They make it right. And he starts coming more and more and more. And he's got some really good musical talent. And we didn't throw him in there immediately, but over time, let him lead a little music here and there. And before long, after a number of years, the former drug dealer is one of the most influential leaders in the church. He's leading worship. And I know I can say his name because he's shared his testimony so many times. Dean is grateful that God saved him, that God transformed him, and he's still serving the Lord. Many years later, he's truly a changed person. But how do you think it went when Dean was up in front of the congregation leading worship music for the first time? Do you think everybody in the church went, "Oh, isn't that amazing how God has saved him and transformed him"? You think everybody was like that? Sadly, no. There were a few people going, "Oh boy. Oh, what are people going to say?" You know, I've been here a long time in this church, and I don't get to do that. Here's the point I'm making with this. Is when God raises up new people and you find yourself having that craw in your throat, having that puh attitude, it's revealing much about your own heart. I've been there myself. In that position, and God had to say, "You know what? Your problem's not with that person. Your problem's with me." And that's what's going on with the older brother. Maybe you're the new person, and you find yourself on the receiving end of some of that. Well, let me tell you, the problem's not with you. The problem's with the Father. And the older son syndrome reveals itself in two ways. And we see it here in verses 29 and 30. When we struggle with the older son syndrome, we do two things. We exaggerate in two ways. The first thing we find ourselves doing is in verse 29, we exaggerate our own righteousness. Look at verse 29. "But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I've been serving you.'" See that? I've been around longer. "For so many years I've been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours." Yeah, right. Sure. Has anyone in this room, an infant was excluded from this, but has anyone in this room kept every wish perfectly of your earthly parents? I mean, even when you were little, when mom or dad said, "Wash the dishes," and you just went right in there dutifully and washed the dishes. Or mow the lawn, or do this or do that. And you just always did everything perfectly. Without grumbling or complaining. You were just a wonderful, perfect child. Of course not. So how many of us could dare say of our Heavenly Father, "Oh, I've kept everything perfectly"? If you claim that, you're a liar, of course, right? But see, what happens is, when we have the older son syndrome, we exaggerate in our own eyes our own righteousness. And while we exaggerate our own righteousness, what else do we do? Look in verse 30. We exaggerate our brother's sinfulness. So we lift our righteousness up too high, and we talk bad about them and tear them down and make them too low. Look at verse 30. But when this son of yours came, notice this son of yours. He's no brother of mine. He's the son of yours. When this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes. Go back and look, beginning at verse 11 up to where we're at. And tell me where you see it said that he blew all the money on prostitutes. You don't find it. You find in the New American Standard, it says, with loose living. You find, you can go back to the King James, and it'll say with riotous living. But the word just means undisciplined. The word means he did not manage his money well. So where did this, he blew it all on prostitutes, come from? It came out of the imagination of the older brother. Remember, the older brother has been in the field. He had no clue what was going on in the father's house. He had no clue why the celebration was happening at first. He made that part up. Isn't it amazing how some people will try to brighten their own appearance by darkening the appearance of another? But again, his frustration is really with his father. And let's look at the last thing I want to show you out of this sermon, out of this text. And I think this is the most important of all. The older brother wouldn't heed the father's pleading. He was tone deaf to the voice of his father. Where does the older brother stay? Look at verse 28. But he, the older brother, became angry and was not willing to go in. He chose to stay outside. His father was saying, listen, you've always been my son. I love you. There's nothing that I have that isn't yours. Come in. Join the party. Have a steak. The barbecue brisket sliced and ready. Come on. He would not come in. Isn't that terrible? It's also a little bit scary. The father's saying, son, you can stay out here angry and sulk if you want to, but I'm going back in the house and I'd love for you to come in and join us. But son, it's up to you. You can either stay out here and pout, or you can come inside and party. How did Jesus end the parable? He left it open. Jesus doesn't tell us whether or not the older son comes in or stays outside. So let's make the application for us here. We rejoice when the lost get saved. We rejoice when God brings new laborers to his kingdom. We rejoice when God calls believers to new ministries. And if you're on the outside pouting, your problem's not with the new believer. It's in your own heart. When I find myself going, how can that be, Lord? My problem's with the Father. And God says, this is what I'm doing. So are you going to stay outside and miss the blessing? Or are you going to come in and partake of it? So how does the story end? It's up to you and me, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a challenging passage. Father, this passage has convicted me in the past, and Lord, I've been guilty of the older brother syndrome. Lord, I think all of us that have been in the church for a long time, at one time or another, we've been plagued by this. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice and to celebrate and to put our trust in you. Father, as we come to this invitation, while there might be some older brothers here, we also know there might be some like the younger brother in the parable, those who are lost and need to come in faith and return to you, and there they will find when they come that you are watching and waiting, looking down the road for them to come. And as they come to you partway, you'll run to them and embrace them. Lord, now, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. I invite you.